Good morning and God bless you. And who is thankful today? I am thankful, thankful, thankful. Every day we have from God is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. I have so much fun opening mine every single day and just see what Papa has in store. So I want to share something with you today called Through It All, I'll Be There. Through It All, I'll Be There. And get your fingers working because we're going to read some hot Bible today. I know that most of us just got back from a super hot conference up in Dahlonega, Georgia at Forest Hills. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, it was amazing. And I was super blessed. And as far as I know, everybody I talked to walked away feeling Homo Thumadon, which means Homo One. Thumadon means passion of the heart. It just comes from your center of your being. And the biggest comment I got from the most number of people was that for the first time, they really felt like what it was to be part of the one body of Christ. And to do that, it all starts with being in sync with our Papa and with His Son. And it all flows from the top down, right? From heaven through earth. Or as I like to call it, when we get our born again on and we start tuning into God, we become part of Team Elohim. Team Elohim. As I was doing this teaching, I thought, how many people listening to this have ever felt forsaken? Or all alone, or sometimes even abandoned. I think that's a feeling almost everybody's gone through at some point in their life. And sometimes you can even feel that way with other people around you. You feel lonely. Well, you're not. All of God's kids are on Team Elohim. We are all spiritually connected through the universe with the greatest wireless network in the universe called the Spirit of God. And the more we listen to our own coach, Team Elohim, that's when we are the most Homo Thumadon. One heart, one passion with God. And when we're that tight with God, we are one heart, one mind with each other. And I'll tell you something right now, my friends. It is such a blessing to me to know that God always has my back. And we are on Team Elohim. Elohim, in the beginning, Elohim, God. The God of all creation. You know, the one who was there in the beginning and is still everywhere present. Yeah, that's whose family we belong to. That's whose team. We're on God's team. And I've kind of been going through a little bit of a rough patch. Maybe some of you can relate. Really, this whole year since January. And I've continued to maintain my joy, my peace. I get knocked down, but I get up again. And my inspiration for this teaching is Isaiah 43, verse 2, that says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you." When you go through deep waters, you feel like you're sinking. I'll be with you. What a comfort. God is always there with us. Now, I love people. I'm a lover of people. I can say that right now. But one thing I can say for sure, in this life, people come and people go. Some will have your back. Others will stab you in the back. Others will say, with all sincerity, I'll be there. But when you ask for them, they don't show up. But we are privileged to be on Team Elohim because people may make us feel good or people may disappoint us. But whichever way it goes, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5. Honey, you can take that to the bank. God is there for you 24/7, even when you sleep, He'll be there. The Creator of heaven and earth, He tells us repeatedly, All through the Bible, I'll be there. Listen to this. It's when we lose sight of that truth, we forget God is within us and around us, that we make decisions that are about as smart as a screen door in a submarine. Yeah, that's right. When I'm not tapping into God and I'm just out here running around on my own, having a pity party, feeling sorry for myself, I make decisions about as smart as a screen door in a submarine. And I'm pretty sure every submariner can tell you that's not what you want to keep the water out. So let's get our sea legs back and trust in the living God and remember He is there always. Even it says if we make our bed in hell, if we've so messed up our life we feel like we're living through hell, even through a fault of our own or no fault of our own, He's still there. And I can remember, wow, when I was a new believer, I read Psalm 27:10, and there was so much crazy stuff going on in my childhood, in my home where I grew up. And I remember being, I guess I was maybe 24 at the time, and I read that verse that said, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." The first time I read that, I sat on the floor and I cried like a baby. Because my relationship with my mom and dad was mostly good, but because of my behavior, it was sometimes a little bit fractured. And I sat there and cried like a baby because I thought, I will never be alone again. There is someone that will be there for me every way and every day of my life. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And with God, life is always reciprocal. You know, He's always there for us. But guess what? We're supposed to be there for Him too. To bring His plans to pass through our obedience. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "We are God's masterpiece. And He created us for good works. That He planned before the foundation of the world, long ago." Why? For His glory. We glorify God, our Father, when we show the world that we have overcome the powers of darkness by listening to our coach, our papa, and obeying Him. Team Elohim. And you know what God says in Ephesians chapter 2? We'll get there in a second, but He gives Himself bragging rights in the spirit realm through our victories. And what do I mean by that? Well, I don't know much about football. Don't much about baseball either, come to think of it. But I do know what happens when pros win a bunch of Super Bowls. You know who gets the most long-term accolades? Yeah, there may be an MVP, but if they win a bunch in a row, you know who really gets the long-term accolades? The coach. I remember growing up in Georgia, man, I got so sick of hearing about some coach named Bear Bryant at Alabama. I thought, who is this guy? Why isn't he in Georgia coaching the University of Georgia? But this guy, Bear Bryant, he was a legend in these parts. And I don't know squat about football. Like I said, it's not my thing. I'm into golf and tennis. And I can't name one person who was ever on this team called the Green Bay Packers. But even I know that one of the greatest coaches of all time, maybe you're ahead of me on this, was a guy named Vince Lombardi. I Googled him. I had to look him up. And did you know that on Google, he is still called the greatest coach in football history? Apparently, as a head coach in the NFL, he never had a losing season, and his team won the first two Super Bowls. Today, the Lombardi Trophy, I've seen that, it's a big silver thing with a football on top, is still awarded each year to the winners of the NFL championships. And as far as I know, from my slim knowledge and according to Google, it is the most coveted award in that sport. Now, Coach Lombardi had apparently many outstanding players, but you know what? He got the glory because he was a great leader and coach. He gendered respect from his players, and they listened to him. They trusted in him, and you know what they did? They won. And that's what it should be like to play on Team Elohim, on God's team. Boy, if anybody has earned our respect, it's God. So why wouldn't we want to listen to him so that we can win on every occasion, even in when we are in those dark, deep waters? He is there to pull us out. Because Elohim, in the beginning, our Father, is the greatest coach in the universe, and his records of victory are unparalleled in the universe. In Ephesians 2:7, the Wycliffe translation says that God saved us by grace, that, reason being, he saved us by grace, he should show in the worlds above, better known as the spirit kingdom, the plenteous riches of his wisdom and grace upon us through Christ Jesus. God shows his wisdom and his grace upon us through Christ Jesus. He has bragging rights. He shows us off in the spirit realm and says, look at my kids. I created them to be winners, more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are his pride and joy, and he displays in that other realm, that invisible realm, all of our trophies, all of our victories that we achieve by tapping into his wisdom, listening to our coach, and doing the supernatural in our own lives with God's Spirit flowing through us. And we enjoy the fruits of that relationship when we get our heads straight, respect his coaching, listen to his voice, and do what he says. That's Team Elohim. And recently, a beautiful friend of mine, Jackie Harrington, she go to Isaiah 43, please. She turned me on to this great section of scripture, and I read it, and I thought, man, here's a Team Elohim sandwich. And in Isaiah 43, verse 1, the second half, this is step one. Two words, fear not. Apparently, fear not is used 365 times in the Bible because we need it every day of the year. Fear not, because you're so smart in your own flesh, because your mind is so, no. Not because my mind's so wonderful, I'm so talented. Fear not, for God has redeemed me. I have called thee by thy name. Imagine that. God knows every hair of your head. He knows your name. He's got it graven on the palms of his hands. And step two, and you got to know this in your heart to be on Team Elohim, thou art mine. We belong to him. Satan may get his licks in, but as long as we remember we're on Team Elohim and we've dialed in that he will never leave us or forsake us, he will take us through the waters and we will be victorious in every situation. Verse 2. When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, I look at that and I think, well, we've already seen examples when God parted the Red Sea. The believers walked right through and the Egyptians were what? Drowned. Thou shalt walk through the fire. We've already seen an example. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The people that threw him in the furnace, what? Burned up. And then there was that fourth man. Who was that fourth man? That angel. God's secret service. God's hedge of protection around them. And when they came out of the burning fiery furnace, there wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. Verse 4, God says, since you were precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Again, verse 5, what does it say? Fear not, for I am with thee. There is the Elohim sandwich. Fear not on the top, fear not on the bottom, and the meat for God within that sandwich is verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him or you, put your name in there, for my what? Glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Why? For God's glory. If you were at the conference, you remember me talking about David and Goliath. And David didn't slay Goliath to pump up his reputation, to give himself a big name, for everybody to be talking about David, although that was the result. His motivation for doing it was to protect God's reputation. Man, if we are God's kids, we should be walking and living in the winner's circle. It says in Psalms that a righteous man gets knocked down 7 times, but he gets up. There used to be that old song, I get knocked down, but I get up again. That's a believer. You're not going to go through a trouble-free life. You're just going to go through a victory-filled life. Teamwork makes the dream work, and there's no team like Team Elohim. And Papa walks through the clouds, the skies, the heavens are his tent. And he brags about you and I to the principalities and powers in heavenly realms. Can you imagine that? And yet it's true. That's spiritual truth. And the angels, man, they rejoice. They are clapping their hands. They're blowing their trumpets. They're bowing down. Holy, holy, holy. They're excited. They're having a hootenanny in heaven. And Satan, he is depressed. He is deflated like a balloon with a pin in it. Knowing that not only has he lost another battle, but he knows that overall he's already lost the war. Go to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. 6th book in the Bible. In Joshua chapter 10, Israel was in a pickle, as we like to say down here in Georgia. All the 5 kings of the mighty Amorites, and boy, they were fierce warriors, came up against Joshua through the back door by attacking his ally, Gibeon. The Israelites and the Gibeonites were allies. And the king of Gibeon, you know, he had a couple of brains that worked in his head. Because the first thing he did was send a messenger to Joshua right away, booms quick, because he knew that Joshua had, let's just guess, Elohim on his side. His numerous victories in the past were legendary, Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, there it is again. That should be the banner of Team Elohim. Fear not. Fear not. Look at this promise. For I have delivered these 5 mighty kings and their huge armies into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them immediately and went up from Gilgal that night. Verse 10, and the Lord discomfited them, the enemy. That's King Jimmy, for he gave them a, excuse my words, butt whipping. He discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter. Who slew them? the Lord. He slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the way that goes up to Beth Horon, smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. Verse 11, and it came to pass as the enemy fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. This is the enemy. And look at this. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Oh my goodness gracious, people. This is the team we're on. These are the kind of miracles we need to be seeing today. Not necessarily guns and knives and hailstones, but bringing freedom and liberty and setting the captives free spiritually, starting in your home, your friends, your family, your nation, and let it spread to the whole world. This is the God we serve. Team Elohim in action. But it began to get dark, and nighttime was encroaching. Verse 12, look at this. There's no other verse like this in the entire Bible. Then spake Joshua. Remember, he was Moses' protege. And apparently this cat paid close attention to Moses was getting coached by God, and Moses was coaching Joshua, right? Raising him up to be a leader in his own right. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites for the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, this is Joshua, sun, S-U-N, the sun in the sky, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13. This has got a yellow highlight marker in my Bible. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. They just ended up mopping up. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down. Look at this. About a whole day. And this has yellow marker and is underlined. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Oh my gosh, this makes me think of Jesus teaching them the lesson. If you have faith, you can say to this mountain, go jump in the ocean. And if you don't doubt, it shall come to pass. What faith Joshua must have had to make the request for the sun and the moon to stand still. In other words, Elohim. Joshua made the request, but Elohim, yes, the mind, the first cause, the ultimate Thule, that from which everything was created, Elohim literally stopped the whole universe, all of the movement of the stars, the earth, everything stopped for about a whole day. That's Team Elohim. Now, you know, I'm a scientific nerd. I repeat that without shame often. And astronomers have studied the stars, and you can look at the movement of the constellations and the configuration of the stars and see all kind of things and know where they were 4,000 years ago and what position they were in. And they scratch their heads because they realize that somewhere there's a gap. Somewhere through the centuries, there's a gap. And you know how long that gap is? 24 hours. Okay. Well, Joshua said that God stopped the sun and the moon for about a day. So we're still missing some time, because if God had stopped it for 24 hours, it would have said God stopped the sun and the moon for a day, not about a day. About a day is not a day. There's something left. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse 1. In those days Hezekiah, and he was one of the good kings, he was sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You got your will written, you got your successor in line, because you're toast. You're out of here. Boy, you know, prophets have to deliver some pretty crummy messages sometimes, and that was a crummy one, but it didn't stay that way. Because in verse 2, then he, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. What a beautiful self-image to know that you have walked before God in truth and kept your heart as perfect as humanly possible. What a beautiful self-image to have. And have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept his eyes out. He wept sore. He was boo-hooing like, you know, it was his last day because it was getting there. And one of the reasons he was so upset is because he had no male heir at the time. And here Hezekiah's in there weeping and reminding God, I've been a good, you know, I've served you the best I can. Please heal my body. You know, I don't have a male heir. Take care of me. Hook me up. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone into the middle of the courtyard. Man, I love this sentence. That the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, verse 5, turn around, turn again and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee, I will heal thee. I've often wondered, you know, I think a lot of times prayer is not so much, you don't have to convince God to heal you. God said he wanted to heal people from way back in the Old Testament. I think what we do a lot of times in these prayers is we convince ourselves. You know, he was reminding himself of his righteousness. He was reminding himself of a reason to believe that God could heal him. And verse 6, and the prophet said, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city, look at this, for mine own sake. Again, Elohim protecting his reputation with his team here on earth. You know, God cares what people think about him. So many people think God is the one who lays on cancer, brings tornadoes, you know, kills babies. Oh my gosh. How absolutely disgusting. God can't do that stuff because he is all love. Love thinks no evil. Love only heals. It never hurts. Love only does good. And so Elohim is constantly using his own children to protect his reputation, because he does have one and it's important to him. That's why when you walk around with bitterness and anger and, you know, negative thoughts in your heart toward other people, brothers and sisters in Christ, or even a perfect stranger, you give off a vibration that is of the devil. Man, when I go in a restaurant, I want to love the way, I want to love the person that seats me. I want to love the waitress. I want my vibration to be one of love, where people are drawn to my table. I want them to come up, you know, if they're looking like they've had a rough day and they're worn out, they walk away with a spring in their step and a smile on their face. I want to be especially good to my own family, my loved ones, my close friends, the body of Christ. But every place I go, I'm an ambassador. Every place I go, I represent Elohim. Verse 9, and Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, and the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. And we're going to go down to verse 10. The shadow, this is on a sundial, shall return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down in the sundial of Ahaz. You know what 10 degrees is on a sundial? That was 15 minutes. And the astronomers figured out that those 15 minutes, added with the time in the book of Joshua, equaled the 24 hours that were missing out of the rotation of the constellations in heaven. People, God knows science. All science, when you're honest, an honest scientist, all it's going to do is verify everything God has ever said in the Word. It's never going to contradict what's already written in the Bible. And when people take this to the laboratory and they prove Joshua, they prove Hezekiah, doesn't it just bless your old heart? Sure blesses mine. So God added 15 years to the king Hezekiah's life. And you know what happened in that 15 years? He produced a male heir, guess what, who happens to be part of the red thread. He produced a male heir that happens to be part of the Christ line. Had he died, that whole thing would have been messed up. But God knew he was going to get his believing up. He knew he was going to get his faith where it needed to be. And God was going to be able to add 15 years to that beautiful man's life. And God said in verse 6, he did it for his own sake. Yes, did Hezekiah get blessed? You bet your bottom dollar. Wouldn't you be blessed with 15 extra years? But God speaks often of protecting his own reputation. And that's why no matter what we go through, we need to remember he's there because we are his representatives on earth. And he confirms his word, it says in Mark, with signs following those who believe. I mean, what other power can stop all the stars in space, the rotation of the earth? I mean, giving somebody 15 years, I get that. I raised my mother-in-law from the dead, and I think she had like an extra 12 years. I get it, and that doesn't mean it's a small miracle. No, there are no small miracles. There are only great miracles. But to stop the heavens, to stop the universe, to the point that the scientists know that the stars stopped for a day, that's your daddy. That's who's trying to deliver you from every hurt in your heart, every problem in your life. He's already got the solution before you had the problem. He's got the answers when you put on your headset and listen to the coach. I guess quarterbacks or somebody they can talk in their ear. I don't know. Again, I don't know that much about the sport. But I know I got Holy Spirit, and I got my receiver turned on, and I know how to hear God's voice. And friends, when we walk this way, we are blessed beyond our wildest dreams, and we bring glory and honor and praise to Kurios Theos Pantocrator, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, who is holy, 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 and worthy of all our praise. Am I making God look good or making him look bad? Am I letting my life be led around by the nose by selfish whims? Or am I doing my level best to walk by the Spirit and walk in the instructions of my coach, my father? 1 Timothy chapter 1. I mean, just think about this. God wants to bring many children to salvation. Why would they want to come be part of the family of an angry God? You take the flip side of that coin. Who would not want to be part of the family of a God who can stop the whole universe at his command? who can add 15 years to your life, who can raise the dead, who can give you eternal life, who can give you peace where you had pain, who can give you joy where you had sorrow, who can reunite families, who can heal every hurt and restore your soul. You would have to be dumber than a box of rocks. You know, you've got to be taught by someone stupid and lying to you not to love Elohim, because there's nothing and no one more deserving of your love, your worship, your time, and your efforts than Elohim, God our Father. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, "But God had mercy on me." Oh, do I relate to that? You've read my book. Boy, did God ever have mercy on me. Mercy, mercy, mercy. "But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners." There is my book. There's the cliff notes to "I saw the light, but he saw me first." And look at that. Then, reason being, others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Verse 17, "All honor and glory to God, how long? Forever and ever, for he is the eternal King, the unseen one who never ever dies. He alone is God. Amen. He always was, he always will be, and he's always the same." And God himself inspired the writer of 1 Timothy to say, God says all glory and honor belong to him alone. Are there people that we honor and respect here on earth? Yeah, absolutely. But that's a whole different level. That's a whole different ball game there. Matthew chapter 9, please. Couple more things. Is anybody bored yet? It's the whole package, people, from the top down. God loves you. You love him because you realize he first loved you. You start getting your head and heart straightened out. You start listening to the coach. That makes all of us more one heart, one mind, homothumadon. I have seen more miracles in my life this week than Carter has liver pills. I've seen God do at least one or two miracles in my life every day this week. It's just amazing. Words of prophecy, things coming to pass, doors opening, healing, information I need to make things come to pass. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. "And Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." Uh-oh. But this time, he's coming to a different reception because now the word of all his miracles has finally come back to his city. "And so a few began to believe, and behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy." And of course, if I had palsy, I'd be sick of it too. "Lying on a bed, and Jesus seeing their faith," not just the guy on the pallet, but the people who are bringing him. "And you know what he said to this sick, sick, sick man? Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Verse 3, "And behold, certain of the religious leaders, the scribes, said within themselves, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts." Now, how did Jesus know their thoughts? He operated seven manifestations. One of them was word of knowledge, right? Revelation. That's how he knew. And he said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts?" You know, evil gives off a vibration. You can't miss it if you're on the good team. If you're walking with God, you're going to pick up on it like a skunk outside your front door. "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk." And I just want to stop here and pause for a second. God sees this as a unit. Do you believe your sins have been forgiven? I sure do. And it's not hard for me to believe that. It's like duck soup. Easy for me to believe God's forgiven my sin. And it ought to be just that easy to believe whatever comes my way, I'm healed. God sees them as a unit. One is no harder than the other. Receiving emotional and physical healing ought to be as easy as believing our sins are forgiven, they're cast from the east to the west, and God remembers them no more. And when you're walking in that mindset, it's a whole lot easier to be a star player on Team Elohim. Verse 6, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and what? Glorified God, which had given such power unto men. That's us, Team Elohim. The power flows through us, but the glory goes to Vince Lombardi. The glory goes to our coach, Elohim, our coach. Vince Lombardi was a figure of speech. The glory goes to God, and they see a kind and loving God and want to have part of what we're partaking. 2 Kings chapter 6. And sometimes to do this, you got to wake up and ask God to open up your spiritual eyes so you can get the 411 from the coach and be, you know, Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand when the woman was caught in adultery. What was he doing? 2 Kings chapter 6. He was waiting for God to call the next play, the right play, the winning play. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 14. Now Elijah, he was already getting revelation from the coach. And he was telling the king of Israel how to avoid being captured by these booby traps and ambushes that the king of Syria was setting up for the king of Israel. And the king of Syria was getting just pure D ticked off. And one of the people that worked for him said, hey, the king of Israel knows what's going on in your bedchamber. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? And he said, yeah, there's this prophet named Elijah over there in Israel, and God's telling him everything you're about to do before you do it. And so the king was so happy to hear that information. No, the king was furious. And he wanted Elijah what? Dead. Verse 14. And it was told him, saying, behold, Elijah is up in Dothan. Therefore sent the king there horses and chariots and a what? Great host, a huge army, and surrounded the city. They snuck in and came by night. And I can tell you it was a huge army because they compassed the whole city. They went clear around the whole city, made a ring around the whole city. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and had gone forth, they probably went out to use the bathroom, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant came running back to the house. I always wondered in there, did he go to the bathroom or not before he came back? But anyway, that's just how Peg's mind works. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? He was freaking out, because he was seeing the life by the five what? Senses. And to his eyes and to his mind, thinking by the five senses, he had one phrase running through his mind, our goose is cooked. There is a huge posse out there and we are surrounded on every side. 16, and Elisha, he was probably finishing up his morning cup of tea, chilling out. His shoulders weren't all scrunched up around his neck. They were totally relaxed and at peace. And he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Has God changed? No. Are they that be with us still more than any problem that can come after us? Yes. And in this situation, we know there was a whole lot out there because they compassed the whole city. But we know that they that be with us are more than they would be with him. That's always a truth. Never change. God's no respecter of persons. Only conditions. Are you believing? And the coach spoke to Elijah's headset, his spirit. 17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes of his servant that he may see in the spirit realm. And the Lord opened the eyes, the spiritual eyes of the young man, and he saw. How? Revelation, inner vision, thoughts, feelings, and vision. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha, an angelic host of God's mighty warriors, riding in chariots of what? Fire. 18. And when the Syrian army came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And all the entire army of host of Syria went blind temporarily. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Well, the word of Elijah was the word of Elohim, because Elohim had told him what to say. So Elijah just told them all to hold hands like little puppy dogs. He led them to the king of Israel who wanted to kill him. And Elijah said no. And he restored their sight. And he said, send them all back. Feed them a good meal. Send them back to Syria. Because send them back as emissaries and tell them the mighty miracle that Elohim has done. That was so much smarter than slaughtering them. He sent them back as messengers, who every single one of them had witnessed the miracle of them going blind and then receiving their sight after a period of time when Elisha spoke their sight. They fed him a good meal, sent him home, and guess what? Syria didn't attack that king. That particular king of Syria never attacked Israel again as long as he lived. You know why? Team Elohim. He got the memo. I encourage everybody listening to this, ask God more often to open your spiritual eyes. I know so many people who think it's scary to look in the spirit realm. Are there demons out there? Yes, they're little cockroaches. They're little tiny bugs, crickets. The big, huge beings in the universe are God, who fills it, Jesus, who's all-powerful, angels. I have seen my guardian angels at times 40 feet tall. They are bad mamma jammas, these guardian angels. They aren't little fat cherubs. And man, if you really look in the spirit realm with God guiding the way, it is the most elating thing you will ever do. You will see that God is all around you. You will see the heavenly host. You will see that he's everywhere present. You will see that our part is simply to believe that he is there with us through it all, to show himself strong to those who put their what? Trust in him. Those who respect, listen to, and obey our dad, who is also our coach of Team Elohim. That's how we roll. This is how Jesus lived. This is how he walked in signs, miracles, and wonders. And this is how he glorified his Father in heaven. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Man, I love this verse. It's just a figure of speech for God's omnipresence. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. What that perfect means is that same verse that I think it's in Isaiah, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he what? Trust in thee. A perfect heart is simply a trusting heart. It doesn't mean you haven't made a boo-boo in the last 10 years. It doesn't mean you didn't make a mistake this morning. It means you've gotten yourself back in the right attitude, the right frame of mind, and you are trusting in God now. I keep telling people, God's clock in heaven doesn't have any numbers. It's only got three letters on it, N-O-W. God wants us to learn to live in the now, not to wag the past around like a fat elephant, and not to worry about the future, which robs us from our joy of today. It doesn't mean we don't ever make any plans. It just means we're not anxious about those plans, because our heart is at peace. A perfect heart is a peaceful heart. In that moment, you are trusting Elohim. It's when we don't trust God, when we don't remember He's all around, when we don't listen to His revelation, that we get our butaka kicked. That's the backside. Papa's whole day, every day, from man's point of view, because God doesn't know time. He's omnipresent, He's omnidirectional, He's omni-everything. Omnipresent, omnipotent, with power. But in man's, this is a figure of speech, so it's man in man's time, in our linear thinking, God's whole day is filled with one thing: showing Himself strong to any believer, anywhere, any place, who does one thing: puts their trust in Him. And because He can be a million places simultaneously, because He's everywhere present, it's not like He's over here meeting your need and He can't go meet Bobby's need because He's hanging out with you. There's plenty of God to go around. And that's how we live on Team Elohim, my friends. Go to Romans 15. I'm going to close up there. The result, we all heard about it in the mountains of Dahlonega, one heart, one mind. One heart with God, one mind with God equals homothumadon. I think it's used 12 times, 11 are in the book of Acts. Here's the one in Romans chapter 15, verse 5. And boy, do I love this first phrase. Now the God of patience and consolation. Oh, we all need to develop more of that in our own hearts, towards ourselves and towards everybody else. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That reason being, you may with one mind. What word is that, people? Homothumadon. Like passion. Not just having a fleeting thought, but being passionate about doing God's will. Putting on the mind of Christ. Homothumadon. That ye may with one mind and one mouth do what? Glorify God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is Team Elohim. He's here for us, and we are supposed to be here for Him. He gives us 100% of His effort, and, you know, all He asks in return is 100% of our effort. And you may say, well, Peg, that's a lot. Are you making that up? Last time I read the Gospels, it said I was supposed to love God with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like 100%. I'm supposed to be practicing His presence and bringing glory to Him all day, even when I'm by myself. But man, oh man, what a life! And through it all, His love just gets stronger and stronger for you every day, because He's the God of patience and consolation. When we just do one thing, believe in Him. Never give up, never give in, never, never, never give in. The winds of change are blowing. God is bringing so many people in the body of Christ in that valley of decision. Are you going to play at church with religion? Are you going to really get off the bench and get on Team Elohim and press into God? Which way will you go? When you press into God, you may go through some trials and tribulations, but you'll come out on the other end battle-hardened and fit for the Master's use. Or you can just throw your towel in the bucket, walk in the locker room, and stick your thumb in your mouth and feel sorry for yourself the rest of your life. Victory or defeat, every day it's a choice. I'll have to tell you, folks, in life, I've lost some and I've won some. And winning is way more fun. You know, I haven't done everything perfect. I've lost sometimes and I've won sometimes. And winning is way more fun. And through it all, either way, God promises, I'll be there for you. Believe it. Live it. Experience it. The presence of God. And we're going to close with a song. And this is what I really hear Papa singing to my heart every morning. It's called Through It All. And I love the verse that says, hold on, I'm here with you. I'm going to love you through it all. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for opening our spiritual eyes in a greater way than ever before, that you truly are there with us through it all. That there's nothing you would do for Joshua, Hezekiah, or even do for Jesus that you wouldn't do for us when we simply put our trust in you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.